I know we're synchronized, but I'm saying let's delete this useless crap and start over. And welcome to I'm Ashamed of This. I'm Uranium Bacon.
And I am ContraPants. And we are talking about social networks because recently there's a new one that came out and people seem to give a shit for no reason. It's called Hello.
Hello.
You
gotta say it all British like. Hello.
Oh, it is annoying. .co. I don't know what country that would be, really.
.co.uk?
No, it's just lo.co.
I'm pretty sure it's actually co.uk.
Well, that's not what I searched for because I started writing something about it.
Well, it might be like how you don't need to do the http://... anymore.
No, because it's .co.uk, .co.au,
.co.everything. I'm going to assume it's UK anyway because it sounds British-like.
I think it's only the British Isles that have a .co in front, because .ca is just some thing. And .cx is infamously its own.
Hooray? Question mark?
You know, Goatsy?
Well...
That's how we learned out Christmas Island is a thing. .cx is Christmas Island.
Okay.
Yeah, it's its own country. With crabs that walk on trees and are nightmare fuel because they're bigger than dogs, coconut crabs.
Really?
Yeah.
You have some sort of crab pet?
I guess you can try. But
yeah, it'll probably end horribly, but I can try.
They get their name because they pick up coconuts and crush them open in their one claw.
That's amazing and deadly.
Yeah.
Very deadly.
They're very scary to see. They look like gigantic underwater spiders.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, now, ever since Facebook, or not even Facebook, ever since MySpace, I want to say, because fuck Friendster.
I never found anyone to be my Friendster. I still would like a Friendster, if at all possible.
And also, say, LiveJournal back then, everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
There's always been the whole idea of trying to kill the last social network with your own better one. Now, yep. Facebook became... You know, the juggernaut that it is. And then another company thought, fuck all the pictures and everything. People only really care about the news feed after a while. And then they created Twitter.
Yeah.
And now there are
Then someone said, fuck all the news feed. People just want to see the pictures. And they create Instagram.
Yeah. And then Facebook bought Instagram.
Well, there's still Tumblr.
The funny part is, I don't know why Instagram became huge when there already was, like, Flickr. Although, I guess Flickr you had to pay for if you wanted to do professional. So.
Well, so Instagram had all the hipster filters, and that's what everyone wanted.
That's true.
You could take all your relatively glossy, clean, professionally done photos and make it look like you did on some cheap piece of shit camera. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes art because it looks funny.
And in 30 years, people will be clamoring for filters to make it look normal again. And
it's too late. To unfilter. There's going to be a whole company dedicated to reverse filtering Instagram.
It would be like Technicolor.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I mean, I'm sure that'll become art because the technology won't make it look quite right, but close enough.
Yep.
And it'll become art.
Yeah.
Like just making everything sepia.
Yeah. So I was starting to write a thing, which hopefully I'll have up by the time we publish this, because that'll be... I guess a month from now. We actually have roughly a queue now.
I know. We actually have like a buffer in case shit happens so that when everything goes to hell, we could still continue to bring you about roughly 7 minutes of bullshit.
And I'm thankful for this because I work in consumer electronics and it is Christmas season.
Unless we release this episode after Christmas season.
Well, the thing is, when you work in any field... And you have to deal with Christmas, it starts half a year before Christmas because you have to have it done by Christmas. So, like, if you ever see Christmas comedy specials, things like that, they typically are filmed in July.
Well, yeah, because you have to have everything, you know, filmed and edited so that way it can be released in December.
Yeah, and you have to advertise for it before it comes out and everything like that. And it takes time for all these things. So, when I was looking up about Hello, because I wondered what is this thing that people are making fun of. Now, whenever a new social network comes out, you always have the, no one's there, so why would I join? And it's only the same three people, and they keep posting the same thing they post on Facebook anyway.
Yeah.
And the big thing with this, a couple, I guess maybe it was a year or two ago now, they had the Twitter killer. There were a whole bunch of them, but the one that kind of stuck was app.net, which only really ultra-nerdy open-source people really jumped at. And it's really just a duplicate of their Twitter account.
Yeah. The app, or the Twitter killer that no one has heard of.
Right. Because Twitter started advertising, because they need to make money somehow, and then app.net is like, no, we're advertisement free.
And that makes a lot of money.
Right. So eventually they'll be become the same thing. Elo looks like it's the same thing as Facebook, only without ads.
Okay.
And they don't track you and all this other bullshit. But
That actually is a benefit.
Right, but originally Facebook didn't either. Whichever one is biggest is going to have ads, because some company is going to put stuff on there.
Well, also, I mean, it's going to cost a lot of money to maintain the servers and all that stuff to keep this thing running, and those ain't free.
Right.
So you're going to need to make money somehow, and, well, it's either advertising or you have your Wikipedia month where they just bombard you with pleas for money until everyone throws money at them. Well, yeah, because they make just enough money to operate for a year, and then they're like, please give us more money. Mm-hmm. You think by now Wikipedia would have some sort of trust fund?
Well, they try, but Wikipedia is one of the biggest sites on the internet.
Okay.
They go through a lot of bandwidth.
That's true. They really do.
So with Elo,
you know what Wikipedia should do is just get their own bandwidth hosting company and then just host stuff for other companies.
Yeah, then they probably need even more capital.
But they'd actually make money over time and become self-sufficient.
Assuming people actually go on it. Because right now, most companies, if they want to do that, they go on Amazon's cloud.
I'm sure Wikipedia is big enough of a name brand where they can get people to do it.
Actually, they might save money moving to Amazon's cloud.
Yeah, maybe.
Rather than having their own servers. But there's a whole the other implications that comes with that anyway. But anyway, besides that, Elo went off the deep end, though.
How so?
What they do.
Okay.
Well, you're allowed to have very small pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in black and white.
All right. No hipstergram filters.
Everything is monospaced.
Okay.
So it basically looks like an old school BBS with pictures.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know why people think this is so much funnier or crazier than any other social network. Because all of them started pretty simple and people eventually started demanding more and things like that, and they grew bigger and bigger and bigger. And then Facebook's a behemoth now.
Yeah. And now it knows all.
But Facebook started pretty simple.
Yeah, it was some guy's dorm room.
Right, but I mean, even feature-wise, it was post your pictures, and here's what did they even call it back then? It was just status.
Yeah, it was just a status. And you actually had to, it's basically literally what you were doing, like uranium bacon is, and then you just fill that in.
Right.
And then they got rid of the word is, and that was amazing.
You couldn't put pictures in your status.
No, you had to actually link to stuff.
I think the only other thing it had was poke.
I can't believe poke was a thing.
I can't believe it's still a thing.
Yeah, it's still in there somewhere, apparently.
Yeah, like, I forgot. Like, why do you even poke? I never understood the point of it even back then.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've never been good with social media or giving a shit about people in general.
I've never been good with being social. So, I mean, that's a problem.
Well, there have been, the funny part is social networks are so dime a dozen now of people trying to create the next Facebook killer.
Google Plus.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Google Plus.
So did everyone outside of Google.
Yeah. Google Plus just means you are a Google employee.
Pretty much, yeah.
And Google actually had some good ideas at one point with Google Wave, although that closed down, but that was a beta thing where it tried to be a word processor that you can work be a word processor that's shared with other people while being an email and IM thing. It tried to be like its own groupware, like Google Outlook almost. It wasn't a bad idea, but it wasn't necessary and didn't do things very well.
Okay.
And that's kind of how Google Plus is.
Yeah.
Only they're forcing it to be relevant because everything you do online, you have under one Google account. And it drives me crazy. Because if you joined YouTube before Google bought them, you cannot merge your accounts together.
Really?
Yeah. Unless you have a Gmail account, I think it is, you can't, like, you could attach, like, I had one associated with a non-Gmail account because I was part of YouTube before I had Gmail.
Okay.
And I can't say, by the way, I'm part of this account. They're like, no, you have to merge everything over and add, like, 100 subscriptions and fuck that, you know? But if I'm logged into one, I'm already logged into the other. So if I'm on YouTube, I'm logged into that Gmail account that I never use. And if I go on Gmail, I'm on a YouTube account I never use.
Okay.
Everything's one login. And because of that, we all have Google Plus accounts because that's what it's all governed under.
Okay.
So
there's Plus actually a Google Plus account for Uranium Bacon?
Mm-hmm.
Add me on Google Plus. I'll never accept it to go on.
But, so there's all these dime a dozen kind of social networks because there's 1,000 of them. So there's a guy named Tom Scott that I follow on YouTube.
Okay.
He does things you might not know, and he's been on Numberphile, Computerphile a couple times, this language series, and he's got a whole variety of things. He and a friend, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
His name is Friend, now and forever.
decided when emojis became really big.
How? I'm sorry, I don't understand emojis.
There's actually a reason why it became so big recently.
Really?
Yes. So
why the fuck do people like this, ContraPants?
Emojis have this thing. Okay, so there's this whole thing called Unicode.
Okay.
Which is underneath fonts and everything like that, there's how the text is actually encoded in a file.
Mm-hmm.
There's ASCII, which is what Americans are used to. That's your keyboard with capital letters and things like that. Then there's UTF-8, which is kind of everything. Then there's Unicode, which is literally any glyph that has ever been created will fit into Unicode.
Okay.
It's not complete yet, and there's always updates to it.
Well, but
the whole idea is that any sort of text-based encoding will have a Unicode character. So when cell phones kind of became a thing over in Japan, they started making the little pictures that you can send inside text messages.
Okay.
Like we had too, but it was bigger there. And then they had things like they have like bento box as one character, which is like a type of Japanese lunchbox.
Oh, okay.
There's some corporate companies they paid to have an ad as like their logo as a character.
It's yeah.
In there. Thing is, now that we have Unicode, all those things were represented digitally at one point. Therefore, it's Unicode's mission to have them in there too.
Okay.
All things should be able to be written in Unicode, past it, present, and future.
Okay.
So they had a thing called emoji. And the reason why it's called emoji is that it's in Japan, you have katakana and hiragana for spellings. And then you have kanji, which is what we typically think of, where each character is actually a whole word.
Okay.
Emoting kanji is emoji.
Okay.
So,
well, I actually learned something.
So what they had was that the thing with Japanese and everything is that when you send one character, which isn't necessarily one byte, because in Unicode it's 4-8 characters, I forget, or 4-8 bytes, you can fit a tremendous amount into that one word.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up as one character, but it's actually 8 bytes.
Okay.
Emoji fit into that. Well, it was a hack on, I believe, the first iPhone that they had emoji in there.
Okay.
For Japanese customers. Someone in America found it. They turned it on. They sent it to a friend. They're like, oh, hey, that's cool. and it became bigger and bigger and bigger until eventually it became officially supported.
Yeah.
Now, that's why whenever there's weird things like, emoji was made in like the 70s or 80s, or these kind of emoticons in Japan, which are kind of known xenophobes.
Okay.
So if you ever look, nearly all emoji, they're always white. If there's not two genders, it's always a guy. It's very much like that. And the funny part is Apple got a lot of flack for it, even though they didn't create it. Because that's just the way emoji was, and everyone found out about it through iPhone.
Uh-huh.
Now, the reason why people really like them is that one character can be up to 8 bytes.
Okay.
Twitter lets you have 140 characters, mm-hmm. not 140 bytes. So, if you don't want to type in, like, the word face or woman or something because it takes up so many bytes, you just put in the one emoji character.
To save space.
Yep. And you could fit an entire message, or like an entire paragraph, into 140 characters. So it became more and more officially supported and everything like that. And so Tom Scott and his friend made a whole social network based on it called Emojily.
Seriously?
Where literally everything has to be communicated using emoji. Your username, your messages, everything. Now, it was supposed to be a parody. Like, it wasn't a real thing.
Oh, I feel better now.
And
it became a real thing, didn't it?
It did. Like, it's like 60,000 users or something they had when they gave a speech on why you should never want to make an app. I'll link in the show notes, I think.
Why you should never make an app. People will use this shit.
That's exactly what they said. But the thing is, because it was a joke, and neither one of them are really programmers like this.
Okay.
Like, Tom Scott's a programmer, but he never made, like, an app.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend, he does, like, back-end stuff. His friend was doing the front-end, but didn't know how to make an app, and did it in the most inefficient programming language possible. And I wouldn't even call it programming language, because it's, like, JavaScript on top of something else. And so, it runs, like, complete shit. But it wasn't intended to be real. And now people are trying to buy them out.
To make it real, essentially.
Yes.
I want to just spend one day and come up with, like, the most batshit crazy idea I can. Somehow make that a social network and just wait to get bought out.
It might work.
How do you feel about writing a very crappy social network?
Okay, when I was younger, I think I half did.
You're the first person I know to potentially half write a social network.
Well, I don't want to say it's social network. It was.
No, I'm going to say it's a social network.
See, before we had Napster.
Come join ContraPants' social network.
I kind of half wrote Napster before Napster was a thing.
You could have half been a genius and a millionaire until you got sued for everything you own.
Now, this is before I knew what. You know, piracy or anything was.
Well, I still sued you.
Well, yeah. But my friends and I, we all had a bunch of DOS games because we were mostly PC gamers, kind of. Well,
back in the olden days.
PC gamers, meaning when like Pentiums were out, we were still using 2 and 386s, but you can buy things from garage sales, like old software from garage sales and things like that and play games. Thing is, so I would have, like, Quest for Glory 3, and my friend would have, I don't know off the top of my head, Yonoid or some bullshit. Like, someone would have Doom, like that kind of thing. Well, we couldn't, now you can try to share these things back and forth.
Okay.
On floppies.
But you need a lot of floppies.
You need a lot of floppies, which was half a problem. And sometimes, if it was, like, say, a CD-ROM game or something like that, you'd need the CD-ROM because the actual videos wouldn't fit on your hard drive or they would only look on drive D or something like that. So turns out there's a lot of workarounds and things like that. But the problem was still creating copies of the CDs because CDRs weren't a thing. So I knew about Telnet. So, and something like that. So I made a thing where we can transfer files back and forth to each other over a dial-up modem. You'd have to directly call me.
Okay.
And into my computer, it would connect and you transfer file.
That's right. Some people out there might actually need an explanation as to what a dial-up modem is.
Yeah. There was no network. You would dial my house with your modem. It would connect. You'd hear something that sounds like a fax machine, which I just realized you probably don't know what that is either.
Yeah, they know fax machines, but not modems. Right. Well, actually, if you work for a temp agency. Yeah,
or an office in general sometimes.
Only temp agencies are the only people who have anything actually faxed nowadays. Everything else is emails. All the time. Really?
Big corporate offices do, because they still do things the way that they've always done them. If they need to do an order, they're going to order it through a fax if they've already done it that way. No one will ever move on. I've had to take something I had printed out so I can fax it to someone for them to scan it back in as an email.
Oh, God.
That's just the corporate way.
That's...
So...
God damn, that's stupid on so many levels.
So what my thing ended up doing, because it ended up being like about a dozen of my friends, we would share things like that. My parents got mad that I tapped the phone line all the time, and my friends can never share either. Because thing is, back then, like my massive 14.4 modem, 14.4 kilobits per second.
Slow down.
If you went to download an MP3, which back then were smaller than now, it can take like a day and a half.
So, yeah.
And like it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but it was only like about half a kilobyte a second. So, and 3.5 megabytes, yeah, it took forever.
Yeah.
And if the phone line ever dropped midway through, you had to start all over.
Yeah, that's true. You couldn't just resume.
There were tons of things eventually, like GetRight and Download Manager, that let you try to resume downloads from sites. Thing is,
with varying degrees of success.
Yeah, eventually they stopped working because sites were per-click ads, and they wanted you to start over again because then they got another impression. So what I ended up doing was I had a like master index on my computer, but this is all software I wrote. I had a master index on my computer that if you dialed in, it would have a list of all the stuff that we knew about, and some files I had. But if someone else had downloaded it, they would have their phone number in the index too, and if anyone over mine, it would automatically disconnect, dial their house, and download it. And we all kind of had like a little mesh network. Eventually everyone got it off me or uploaded it to me, and then I would never have to be in the loop again.
I just noticed that midway through, like almost every sentence, you turn away from the mic.
Fuck, okay. All right. I knew I drifted it out. I didn't realize that was why.
you just start doing this, and then this.
Yep, okay. So there might be a little fading in and out there. I got to learn to keep my head straight.
Or at least have the mic follow your mouth. Lock on, contrapants, lock on.
So basically what I kind of did was when I realized... What, am I still doing it?
Yes.
Fuck. I didn't realize that.
I know. That's why I'm laughing.
So it was kind of like Napster because it was point-to-point with the master index.
Okay.
But really, if it was... What I kind of realize now is that if we could have more than one of us on one network at the same time, like on, say, AOL, because we didn't have that yet at the time.
Back when AOL was actually used by people.
That's essentially BitTorrent.
Yeah. Really?
Only I made it where you had to do the whole file all in one shot. That was the thing. BitTorrent breaks up the sectors and has hashes and verification and error checking. But
which is all good.
Yeah, it helps out a lot. But yeah, it was more of a Napster before BitTorrent kind of thing. Yeah. But that's how we shared all our PC games. For
just the fact that you even... Well, A, just thought of that, and B, actually wrote a functional program. That's kind of amazing.
Thanks. But
I would clap, but I dropped the mic.
The funny part is, if you've ever done... And for anyone who's a programmer out there... Fuck, I'm moving the mic again.
Yeah, I know.
Anyone who's a programmer out there, it's really just you send the file size and then the file over a socket. Like, it's really not hard. It was just... Actually, the little kind of database thing was the hardest part. Okay. And that was only because dialing a modem was super easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could still, you type in ATD and the phone number to the modem over serial port. Like, it's super simple to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's no internet or network or anything, you're directly connected. It's send the, like, if there was an untrusted person, you were fucked. Because this is just friends. There's no error checking. You can totally get a virus, you know, real easy like that. Corrupt your whole hard drive if they knew how. Like, it wasn't good by any means, but...
Well, you weren't intending this for mass use or distribution.
Right. And this is also back with, like, Windows 3.1, where the entire network stack came on a floppy disk. Mm-hmm. There was no network card. It was a modem that you connected with the serial port. That was it. And if you were me, you eventually learned not to use the mouse because the mouse was your serial port, and I took that off to put the modem on.
Oh, okay.
Eventually, I ended up having a PS2 mouse, but I went for like 6 months without having a mouse because I needed my modem always connected.
Good job. That's dedication right there.
I was proud, and the second that it stopped working, no one would use it anymore, and I wanted my users because I was kind of proud at the time. I could say I did it.
Yeah. See, congratulations on your minor life accomplishment.
Thank you.
That a lot of people are actually probably surprisingly in awe of.
Yeah, they might. I wonder if I could find that old source code. That'd be pretty cool.
You probably could.
It's on 3.5-inch floppies. I don't even know if I can read it anymore.
That's going to be the hard part.
If I could find it.
Oh, it's got to be in a like basement or an attic somewhere in your parents' house.
Actually, I think I have all my floppy disk of all the games I had with it. It was all those... there's these things that... like they're kind of like chocolates, but there's it's an assortment. Comes in a long rectangular box, kind of red. They come out for Christmas.
Yeah.
Fuck. that once all the chocolates were out, it was the perfect width of a floppy disk.
And really?
That was my floppy disk container. It was just a stack of that. That if you open up this chocolate box, it was about 100
floppies.
It's
a stack of disappointment, basically. But the worst Valentine's Day ever.
I had a piece of paper that I would write, like, Quest for Glory 1, and put band them over the disk, and I knew, grab this whole chunk, and that was all of them. The part that sucked was I was stupid and got really lazy, and I wrote, like, Quest for Glory 1 of 23, the first one, and then after everyone after that was 2, 3, 4, 5, which is fine, but I didn't write of 23 or Quest for Glory, and then I would drop them all, and... this disc 2 goes to which game?
One way to find out. Try installing all of them.
Well, it was... The way they were created was PackZip. Or now it's WinZip. I don't know if it's actually the same company. You could split files by like the 1.4 megabyte boundary. Okay. But it was always called like QFG.002. That kind of thing instead of .zip. So you can tell which one of
these okay.
file name would be the same. But it was a whole, for 100 of them. When you put a floppy disk in, it took a good minute before your computer could actually read it, because it had to index everything. It took forever. It was slow and mechanical. So it took like an hour to re-index everything.
Damn. Yeah. Technology has come a long way since we were youngins.
Yeah.
Now that we've dated ourselves horribly.
I wrote that whole thing in BASIC. QBASIC, I think.
Hmm.
Or Visual Basic, one of them. Huh. Now there's actually databases. Like, that's a thing. I made one up. It was just a text file. If I typed in it, it was broken.
I thought you were trying to make it sound like databases were this bold new revolution.
No, they weren't around yet when I made this.
Wow.
Like, there was no MySQL or... SQLite or anything like that. Like, it was a database was you type in a thing, hit tab, type in a thing, hit tab, and hopefully you had everything lined up.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, they're still kind of like that on if you do they're called flat file database now. They didn't have a term back then. Now there's comma separated values, which are better, but you'd have to write, at the time, you'd have to write something to actually parse them, and that wasn't that good. I didn't know anything yet.
You don't have to be born knowing everything. That would be cool if you were. And it could exploit your smarts for money.
But then life would be boring. You'd already know everything.
Yeah, it's okay. I could dumbing you up good. I'll just drag you down to my level and you could struggle against the tide.
Well, I think we've rambled long enough.
How much rambling have we done?
38 minutes. Oh, wait. 7 of which is complete bullshit.
7 of which is complete bullshit. Mm-hmm. So about 31 minutes.
Yeah.
So now when people are listening to this podcast, the time sinks are not going to work out.
Probably not, because I'll cut the first 7 minutes. Although, if we have about 31, then we have about 31 minutes of complete bullshit also.
Yeah.
All of our podcast is complete bullshit.
I still think we had a couple good episodes.
Oh, no, we did. I think so.
Actually, one of the ones we record today I'm relatively proud of.
I think I am, too. Although, I don't think we really had a bad one. Maybe the first one was a bit slow.
It was slow.
But I think 2 out of 3 were good, I think.
If this was baseball,
hat trick.
If this was baseball, we'd be in the Hall of Fame. Hmm. 2 for 3, that's a fantastic batting average.
Cool.
If there's any other sport, we'd be drummed out of the league. But in baseball, we'd be celebrated. Hmm. Actually, no, in basketball, I think for 2 for 3, it's shooting. I think they'll still give you a job.
If you're a bank robber, 2 out of 3 means you're going to be arrested.
Yes. Maybe just like didn't even bother to rob the first or one of the three. You just got there and you're like, fuck it, and just leave.
Well, I totally thought, oh, you killed 2 people. The third one was a cop. With your shotgun at the bank. Call back.
And on the note of shooting police at Uranium Bacon.
I'm Contrapants. If you want to get in contact with us, email us at show@imashamedofthis.com. You can get me on Twitter at Contrapants.
You can get me on Twitter at Uranium Bacon. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, and I guess either leave a comment or tell your friends or both or, yeah, whatever you'd like. Spread the word if you actually like this. But otherwise, thank you for listening.